Hello.
All right, people, I want to tell you about the sponsors of this wonderful podcast called Verbal Shenanigans. First, I would like to start with good buddies at Wolf Nation.
Ooh.
It's going to be a big year for the old nation.
The nation is growing. Yeah,
that is WULF Nation. Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free.
Listen, of course.
Listen, maybe you missed them for the holidays, okay? Didn't get your kid a shirt, okay? Didn't get your kid a shirt, you're a bad parent. But you could redeem yourself this birthday because, or Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or
Martin Luther King Day.
Martin Luther King Day or Arbor Day or Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr.
Anyway, you can get your kid a Wolf Nation t-shirt, WULF Nation. You know what? Wake up, live free. You're tired of living check to check. You're tired of being part of the big matrix that we do every day. Just be yourself and wolf it. Okay.
And simply put, it's a lifestyle that everybody wants to be with, and it's a style of clothing that shows it.
That is correct. So go to WULFNation.com. Also follow them Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all that fun stuff, and you will be part of Wolf Nation.
Don't lay that way.
All right, I want to tell you about another sponsor of this podcast, and that is DraftKings.com.
Scotty, the playoffs are here, man. I haven't done a lot of the fantasy football stuff.
Listen, the playoffs aren't here for everybody.
It is for one certain team.
Yeah.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail to them, Scotty. And I can go on DraftKings.com, and I can bring up Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Jackson and that amazing Washington Redskins defense.
You guys are so annoying. Your fans are drag queens.
We're longtime drag queens, man. The Hogettes.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, let's talk about something more important, DraftKings.com.
Nothing more important.
Opportunities to win big. Now, look, my fantasy team shit the bed.
It happens.
Actually, this year in fantasy, I had the highest point total in the league, didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
How is that possible? Okay. How is it possible?
You blew your load in certain weeks, I suppose.
But all I know is that when you're not, like, I thought, hey, you know, I'm out of the fantasy. No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Every day you go to DraftKings.com, you can play fantasy sports. Not just football, Burlow. Listen, maybe you're not into football. Maybe you're not into football.
February, NASCAR, man. It's coming back.
Yeah, NASCAR. Yeah.
But there's also basketball.
There's basketball.
There's hockey.
Hockey. Go Devils. Woo, woo. And there's, what else is there? Fighting. There's MMA.
Yeah, UFC.
There's MMA. But there's all that stuff. So if you go to DraftKings right now and use the promo code Shenanigans,
what's going to happen?
Well, you might help this little podcast out. Help it out a little bit. And, you know, you get to enjoy everyday lives, sports, fantasy, playing. That's DraftKings.com.
Scott, I like helping, and I like this podcast, so I can't imagine anything better than this.
If you really like the podcast, you would quit. Let's talk about our other sponsor.
Scott?
Other sponsor. You've heard him on the podcast, Don Bagnato, but he's also the director of an independent film called A Convenient Truth.
Great movie.
Great movie. Now, listen, people. One less beer. One less beer this month.
One less time.
You know, you go to a bar, bang, $6. Bang, $7. Bang, $8 sometimes for a beer. Okay? Instead, wouldn't you like to use that money to support a independent film, something that is going to go towards someone who put a lot of effort in trying to make a film? Anyway, you can buy A Convenient Truth, okay, right now, Burlow, right now, okay?
This minute,
okay? You could buy the deluxe package for $7.49. Burlow, you spent that on Funyuns on the way down.
Well, I love my Funyuns. It's a lovely onion fried taste, and it was delicious, but this offer sounds a lot better. Tell me more.
Yeah, could you do without your two bags of ginormous Costco-sized Funyuns for the month?
Well, it was actually four, but I think I can put it down to two.
Right, deluxe package. You will get for $7.49. Now, if you enter the promo code Shenanigans, you get it for $7.49.
Okay.
Or you could just get the movie for $6.49. $6.49 to support local film.
Wow. I mean, let's look back at her year, man. A.J. Mattioli, mm-hmm. the Cinema Snob, mm-hmm. Greg Oliver. Look at all these independent filmmakers and, of course, the great Tom Bagnata. Mm-hmm.
So you get 50% off if you enter the promo code Shenanigans right now. And where do you go? Where do you go? You go to www.contruthmovie.com. That's www.contruthmovie.com. Watch A Convenient Truth right now.
I'm doing it right now, buddy.
The last thing, bro. The last thing before we get to this podcast. I'm so excited.
You are.
Last thing. I just want to promote. It is a Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution. All over New Jersey. And the best thing about Trivia Revolution is it's we're aligned with the craft beer movement and the microbreweries in New Jersey.
We could take over the world with these people.
So if you want to check it out, go to Trivia Revolution on Instagram. Go play some trivia at all the bars. And yours truly, this guy right here.
Who are you pointing at, Scott?
Me.
The Wall?
I will host every Tuesday night at the Paragon Tap and Table in Clark.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
I got one of those, too.
Oh, okay.
I sent them back a good one. But anyway, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
We were recording.
Yes, we were recording, but that makes it all the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we are back once again. As you know, I got to find new hello lines. You know, what do I say besides we're back? We're back. We're back.
Howdy.
Howdy, y'all. We're back.
Yeah. You know? Hola.
Yes. But I hope everybody's holidays were wonderful. I scrambled to get that Christmas episode up on, I think it was Christmas Eve. I threw it up there.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully you heard my my song to Sean, to Sean Kemp. And
everyone except the guy it was meant for.
Although he did message me the last 2 days, so we'll see. We'll see. You just see. He's an enigma. He's an enigma.
Is that what you want to call it?
Yeah, I'm the enigma, crack, same thing. You know? But... Don't listen to that, Sean. I don't know what they're talking about. Obi's having a good Christmas. Obi's, I posted some pictures the other day. I gave Obi a gigantic rawhide candy cane, and he tries to hide it all over the house and hides it in the most obvious of places. So now, if you hear that scratching sound, which I can hear on the headphones, so you could probably hear that is Obi. Berlo brought him a giant rawhide today, a huge bone, and that is Obi scratching the carpet, trying to place a carpet on.
He's trying to hide it under the fireplace.
And now he's crying.
He's sad because he can't get it under the fireplace.
No great spot. Poor dog. But yeah, it's pretty funny. It's so weird, their instinct to like hide things. I guess he gets so excited he has this big toy and doesn't want anyone to take it away from him.
He remembers the cats from the old days. Yep. He's like, I know since I ate their cat food, they'll try to steal my bone.
Yeah, they would never give it back to me. So now he's going behind the couch as we speak. But the bone is so big he can't get past. Oh,
he made it.
He's behind the couch.
I'm not sure he'll make it back.
He's not coming back.
Nice knowing you, Obi.
So when you hear crying and me off the mic, it's going to be me moving the couch.
He's still going.
Oh, you hear this weird sounds from behind the couch. But anyway, Berlum. Welcome back, and how was your Christmas? How was your Christmas week, I guess I should say?
It was very nice. It was very surprisingly rewarding, I would say, would be the answer.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
Well, on Christmas Eve, I went down to the cousins. She had a pretty decent get-together, huge layout of food. So
big time.
Very nice. Unfortunately, the house has barely, it's an old house, so there's no ventilation, so that 70-degree day felt like an 85-degree day inside.
I think that was everybody's Christmas Eve. It was because, you know, usually got the ovens going in all houses. My father had the air conditioning on. We had the central air on because he was cooking a turkey. It was like 9,000 degrees.
What's wrong, buddy?
I wish you guys could see this. He has contorted himself around a table with the bone, but he refuses to drop the bone, and he's stuck. Beagles are supposed to be smart.
Well, that's the bulldog side.
I guess. But anyway. So, yeah, it was so hot. It was so weird coming outside and being like, it felt kind of Christmassy, and then you come outside and it's like 90 degrees. Weird. It felt like
Easter.
And
it was humid, too. It wasn't just, like, a regular 70 day ain't half bad and all. It was just so god-awful humid. It was disgusting.
It was absolutely disgusting. What about Christmas?
Went over and saw the Brennan family.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you guys didn't know about it. I was in the crawl space watching you all.
You were the elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yes. Burlo had nothing going on Christmas, so I told him to come on by. We hung out in the heat and drank a few beers, and it was good. Good time had. A lot of people running around, a lot of food.
Yeah, I can fit in with your family. Your family's similar to mine, where it's just, hey, how are you doing, you fucking asshole? Kind
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, so now my sister-in-law is obsessed with setting you up with her friend.
Mm.
She's texted me about 12 times in the last week.
Nice.
Saying, oh, what is Michael available this day? Is Michael available this day? Am Michael available this day? So we may have to report back and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was a very fun time. And then to cap off the Christmas weekend was Saturday night. My boys, the Washington Redskins, they are playoff bound. This is a part where you can congratulate me. Say, good job, Burlo. I'm happy for you.
I'm not happy for you. The only thing that comes out of it is I don't know who I'd rather, when it comes to the Reds, I guess I'd rather have the Redskins make it than the Eagles or Cowboys. That's about the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you lose in the first round and get smacked up by, who's looking what, Seattle or Green Bay right now?
It's either going to be Seattle, Green Bay, or Minnesota.
Praying for Minnesota, huh?
That would be my first pick. Like, I was looking on ESPN, they're saying the better matchup is Green Bay for us, but I kind
of
see it as
teams you don't.
Minnesota's one of those. I'll put A in the box. Say Bridgewater, you beat me. Kind of deals.
Even though Green Bay is having like not a great year, I still wouldn't be one of the teams I'd want to run into in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs? No, thank you. Yeah. I'd take my chances with Teddy Bridgewater in the playoffs. So, but yeah, I hope you guys lose miserably, and I hope you scream game in a bar somewhere, wherever you're watching it, way too early, and the game ends, and you're just highly embarrassed sitting in a room full of crowded people.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
You like that.
But then, Burlo, you got a big box of Christmas cookies here you made here.
Yes, I made some cookies.
I guess when they're post-Christmas, are they still Christmas cookies? I get holiday cookies.
As long as the premise was for Christmas holidays, yes.
Hmm. But anyway, I guess that'll segue nicely into our guest. We had a good guest on tonight. He's a chef.
Yeah.
He's a chef. He also happens to be a drag queen.
Hmm. I got to say, I can't believe Gordon Ramsay ended up being like that, but it was a nice catch.
He's a little weird. But anyway, you may have heard him on, Top Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Next Food Network star. If you look him up, he's a figure. He was a figure skater at one point and a chef, and he kind of all over the place. So, here was our interview with Arnold Mint. Woo-hoo.
Can you see me?
Oh no, I don't have you on video. I can put you on video if you would like to see each other.
I just see a very enthusiastic redhead.
Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me.
Describe me, Scott. I'm on the other side.
I only see one person.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just a picture. You want
to... Oh.
Because when, usually when it's on video, it's like it cuts down on the audio quality a little bit.
Sure thing.
So we'll just keep it on. Unless you're, you know, you want? Would you like us to see you? Say yeah. Hi?
Okay.
Arnold Mint is a very visual person.
Yes.
Yeah.
One may not just speak to him. You must see him.
All right. Anyway, Arnold, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. It is great to have you on.
Thank you.
Now that we got our little technical difficulties out of the way. But Arnold, I don't know. We've been we randomly got in touch with you. I don't know. It's been a couple months now, maybe.
Yeah. I tweeted him right after the finale of Food Network Star. And,
yes.
He responded immediately, you know.
Yes. So welcome to the show. You are... I think you're only our second guy who on the show has been involved in food and whatnot and many other things. But Arnold, you have quite an interesting story, resume, I should say. So first off, you just got done with what? Food Network Star was the last one?
I just got done with Food Network Star, yeah.
And when did that finish up?
I think it ended in August, actually. For us, it ended way earlier, but we had to bite our tongue for a couple of months.
Right.
So...
Yeah, now how does that work? Do they, like, make you sign stuff and, like, threaten your life if you say anything?
I can't say. I might die.
Alan Brown shows up at your house with his henchman.
Arnold, yeah. Look out. Bobby Flay's behind you.
No, we definitely have a disclosure where we cannot
right.
– a contract where we can't disclose anything. And, you know, it's easier once the show starts to get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But we also bit our tongue months before that, before the first teaser –
okay.
came out. So, like, our anxiety levels were out of the roof. You know, they were just, like, it was crazy.
And do they, like, seclude you when you're doing these shows? Or are you allowed to, like, talk to people? Or?
Of course they do. They take you take every lifeline away from you just so you can get a little bit crazier.
Oh, good. Good. So, Arnold, you are from Nashville, correct?
I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. That's correct.
Are you still there, or are you?
Currently, I'm in downtown LA, sitting in my new loft. But ooh. I am still there part time. I have restaurants in Nashville, but I also work in Los Angeles, and I'm working on some new projects.
Awesome.
So I go back and forth.
So, all right, tell us where this cooking bug started. Now I know it says that you spent a lot of time. Well, on your site, it says climbing 100-pound rice bags at your parents' market. So
yes.
Give us a little background here.
Like I said, I was born and raised in Nashville. My dad is a retired mathematics professor, and my mother used to be, I guess, a nanny or an au pair for this family in Nashville. And then she married my dad, met through school, and they opened up an Asian market in the 70s. And so my dad would take me to school in the morning, and after school, I would go to the restaurant in the market, and I would just play there until it was bedtime. So I literally grew up killing time in a restaurant market setting all my life.
Now, did you have any other toys other than 100-pound bags of rice, or was that pretty much the regular Christmas gift?
They weren't really toys. That was my playground. My dad did buy me a pair of roller skates when I was young, which eventually led to ice skates as I got older.
Yes, I saw that too. So, yeah. I mean, I guess after playing with rice your whole childhood, you got to do something exciting after that. It looks like you. When did you actually start trying to cook? Like, when did you actually find love in food?
I remember specifically my first inspiration was Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh.
Yeah, she was on a Carnival Cruise Line commercial, and she looked very quintessential 80s fabulous, and she had a cloche open up, and it was chicken cacciatore. And for some reason, her delivery of chicken cacciatore identified with me, and I got all emotional, and I went home, and I made my version of what I thought chicken cacciatore was, which I, it was nothing like it, but I just wanted to open a cloche and say chicken cacciatore. So, so I think I'd open what was like an umbrella hat. That was one of those things that you like, elastic umbrella hats, you know, that, like, all the elastic band ones, over a plate, and I like scream chicken cacciatore, and and that, and thus my culinary rise started.
Son, you know they cook chicken cacciatore, right? That's not how I see Kathy Lee Gifford.
I definitely cooked it. I don't even know what I was doing.
I love that you said you left that with that commercial all emotional.
Yeah. All inspired. They sparked something in me. Little did I know later on in my life I'd be working on a cruise ship, but at that point I just wanted the confetti and obviously the chicken cacciatore.
All right. So where does it go from there? Where does it actually start getting a little serious?
My skating career took off a little bit before my culinary passion. I toured the world a couple times with various production companies and shows. Like I said, I was on a cruise ship for a couple of years skating, and I was on the national team before that. And I went to New York to pursue actually musical theater.
Okay.
And when I was there, my dad being a scholar that he is, and my family being of Asian background, typical, right? Anything that I do for education, they're willing to support. So I decided to finagle my way to staying in New York by studying musical theater. And I biffed at that. But while I was there, I worked at restaurants and realized that all of my journals from my tour life were about food and wine. And I decided an easy A would be to go to culinary school. So okay. I went to culinary school and I worked in New York and I fell in love with it. And I started competing for the school at different competitions, did quite well. And that's kind of where it all started.
So you were, going back a second, you were ice skater on cruise ships?
Yeah.
So if there's a storm on the ship and the boat's rocking, is it like skating downhill or uphill?
We help calm the nerves of all the guests. Yeah. we have some videos that are quite dramatic, actually. It's fun. It's funny.
He was actually in a deleted scene for Titanic and all.
The
historians always leave that out.
Right. We don't talk about that. We don't, like, I remember us playing movies, like, the captain's playing movies like The Perfect Storm and, like, White Squaw on embarkation day, just to calm the nerves a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay, so you go to culinary school. Which one?
I went to the Institute of Culinary Education. It's in Manhattan, and it actually just moved down to, what's the new place down by World Trade Center called?
Freedom Tower?
Around there, it's a whole, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. They just opened a brand new campus down there, and it's amazingly cool. It's huge.
Like NYU campus?
No, like down,
like
no,
down by there?
Like a shopping mall.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge, it's massive, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to culinary school. Okay. Mm-hmm. The food bug.
Brookfield Place. Brookfield Place, that's what it's called.
So the culinary bug, it bites you.
Yeah.
And you become obsessed with it. Now, did you go the culinary route of just straight up restaurants, like doing the restaurant, the grind that you read about and hear about of all the chefs, or was it now you have like some kind of theatrical background? What, like right away, were you thinking maybe you can do like a TV type thing, or did you go right into that chef that working a million hours, working the line, you know, all that stuff?
Right. Well, part of paying your dues is working the line and sweating your balls off. So I did that for when I was in New York. I picked a chef that I admired, John George von Grichten, and I worked under him for my duration of New York, which is about 3.5-4 years. And eventually my family had a restaurant property in Nashville that opened up, and my mother and I decided to, well, my mother decided to lure me back to Nashville by opening a restaurant for me. That's my first one. So I did work within, I did peel shrimp for 8 hours a day in a basement, many, many hours, many, many days in New York City.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So you went from your friends being rice to sitting with shrimp for 8 hours.
Yeah, you know, baby steps.
I
get some protein.
I mean, tell me about like the Tennessee atmosphere when it comes to like culinary. I mean, people talk about L.A., New York and stuff like that. I mean, what's like Midwest kind of vibe out there when it comes to food?
Nashville's food scene is really growing a lot. It's taken leaps and bounds this year, actually. I remember there was a time when my buddy's restaurants were the only two restaurants maybe in a 3 or 4 mile radius, and now there's 20 on my street of celebrity chefs and tasting rooms and boutique bars and restaurants. So the food scene's getting really big, just like everything else in Nashville. We're not just about big hair anymore, we're about big everything else too. So,
all right. So, Arnold, you open a couple restaurants, you're working the grind, you're doing everything. When does it start to turn to popping on to some TV shows and becoming a little bit well known here? We haven't even got to some of your other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's,
what else is there? I'm nervous now.
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Just some mixologist.
Yeah, mixologist, yes.
Oh, right.
But when do you start getting recognized a little bit? You said you've been in a bunch of publications. Obviously, you were on Top Chef. You were on Food Network Star. So obviously, things have worked out pretty nicely for you as far as recognition. So when did that really start?
Well, you know, I want to be clear. I think that everybody has a different motivation, mm-hmm. Or different motives when they do things like putting themselves in the limelight or in a spotlight, right?
Right.
And for me, I come from a background where my parents are quite humble, and they've, you know, my mother's like, you make a dollar, you spend 50 cents kind of thing, mentality. Like, mm-hmm. She'll always challenge me when I would go buy things or go on this crazy bender because I'm far from frugal. And she'd be like, you know, do you know how many egg rolls mom had to make for you to be able to afford that stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I know exactly. I have the receipt about the 1,000 egg rolls. But but really, I did this because she didn't. Their means of business are different from how things kind of work in the States and how things kind of work with hospitality in general. We didn't have, when we factor in a restaurant, we never even factored in like a marketing or advertising budget, and that's so crucial these days with trying to develop hype and with PR, press, and social media. So for me, I figured, well, I have a good smile. I could do this. I could just go on TV and do things to promote my businesses. So everything right now is still part of a big game plan.
I keep trying the same approach. It's not working.
Yeah. Well, your face is frozen. I can't see anything. So I don't know. All I see is a big, big eyes and your mouth is
Oh, that's open. It. That's it. I'm giving you video mode right now. That's it.
So
here it comes.
So anyways, the whole thing. Oh, wait. Enable video. Is that how that works?
Yeah, yeah. Don't scream. It's me behind a microphone.
There you go.
Yeah, see? See, Mike's on the other side of the computer, so you can't see him.
So anyways, back to what
Yes.
Yeah, so things are still happening. You know, things are still happening. Business is slowly building. My brand is slowly building. And it's all because of the opportunities that everyday people have now. So I'm grateful for that.
Right. What was Top Chef was the first one, right?
Right.
What was that like?
Hi.
He's so creepy. I'm sorry.
Hi, Arnold.
See him?
Hey. What was Top Chef like?
Yeah. What was it? A good experience? Was it tough? Was it, was that your first time really on the TV circuit or?
It was fun. I think I was ill prepared for what, I mean, it's just different. I figured doing something like that would help me. Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't the best experience because I didn't get very far, but I don't think it was because of me that I got kicked off. It wasn't. So I was, and it's very much like in the kitchen. It's very bro-y and good old boy and who you know kind of thing. And me coming from Nashville, I didn't have the training or the connections like some of the other chefs had with each other. So people kind of underestimated me. I think that Food Network Star was kind of like my personal redemption for that in showing my cooking chops.
Right.
But it also was a better fit for me in that the opportunities from the show are exactly what my goals are. So,
hey, yeah, I mean, you went a lot further, obviously, in Food Network Star. Now, for the people who watch, obviously, you were down to the final three. And then they kind of threw a spin in there where they brought back somebody.
Yeah.
And they... And that guy kind of took you out of the competition. I mean, was how much did that, were you kind of like pissed or it's like, because the last three obviously got that whole, you know, demo reel of what the show was going to be and stuff like that. Did it kind of hurt that situation?
To be honest, I don't think so. No, it didn't hurt. It, Dom came back and I'm one of Dom's number one fans. All the guys hit it off really well since the beginning of the show. And a little let down. Oh my gosh, I just got a text.
It was from me.
I guess who that is. That's my set designer. Oh. But I can't talk about
it. I can't get enough questions in at once. I need to ask you them and text you others.
Can you get on IM on there?
I just sent him a message. Sorry about that. So yeah, I was, I mean, in reality, I wanted airtime, right? And so we had about 13 to 14 weeks of airtime potential. And to be kicked off at any other time, that was the perfect time to do it because the following week was finale.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I didn't miss a beat. And I think it also sparked kind of like an underdog support mentality from my fans. And also left some questions to be answered that the network and other people are trying to help with now. So you never know. You never say never. I will say this though. I've self-tagged myself as the Jennifer Hudson of the Food Network. For obvious reasons.
Well, you know, I still want to fight for Arnold here. So, if you have Giada's any kind of her personal information, like her phone number, where I can like text her or something, I'll defend you by calling her up and stuff. Believe me.
Well, she's my number one fan, so there's no reason to do that now.
If she ever meets Mike, Mike, she'll hate you forever.
She was wearing some nice dresses on that show.
Yeah, from the what left of them after Wardrobe got to him. Yeah.
Yeah. So Arnold, let's get to your alter ego here. Yes, sure. Your alter ego.
Speaking of dresses,
exactly. Please explain who Susie Wong is.
Well, Susie Wong originally is a character from a book from the 50s.
Okay.
Which the world book? The world according to the world of Susie Wong, and she is a hooker with a heart of gold. Do you want to end the interview there, or do you want to keep going?
No,
please embellish.
No, it's a novel. It was a book turned into a movie.
Right.
And for some reason, this fairy tale or this folk tale of an Asian hooker resonated with me and was a story that I would listen to from my parents from birth, kind of like
Chicken Cacciatore.
Yeah, or Aesop's Fables, you know, right. Susie Wong, hookers. Yeah, right. Perfect.
Okay.
So I decided to open a really kitschy restaurant with some guys that own the biggest gay bar and drag theater in Nashville. And in naming it, we decided to call it Susie Wong's House of Yum, basically a brothel serving oral pleasure.
Oh my God. House of yeah. Yum. I like
House
it.
House of Yum.
I like that.
Because if anybody watches Dateline, you know that what a yum yum is from in the South. Yes. South Asia. So
I don't think you need to watch Dateline to figure that one out.
So that's what Epicurean delight means.
Exactly. All right, all right. Exactly. So as like I said earlier about marketing and self promotions, I decided to turn myself into the equivalent of Ronald McDonald. And I created the character Susie Wong for myself, which is my drag alter ego.
Now, wow. did you visit drag bars or do drag shows or anything like that beforehand? Was this your first diving into that kind of realm?
Have you seen me in drag?
I'm looking at you right now. You're looking fabulous.
No.
No, you look good. I'm serious. You know, you got a good outfit going there. I'm on your website. I'm looking at you. You're pouring some kind of like a punch into a glass.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah. So I'm around some really good. My friends are really successful drag. A lot of my friends are successful drag queens in the television and international circuit. And I was just raised with a drag mentality. I mean, I'm half Thai. We go on vacations to Thailand ever since birth. And so I was always exposed to them, all the shows, all the glamour, ever since I was a little kid. So
you just decided, all right, here we go. I'm going to be Chef/Susie Wong.
Yeah, I also like it. I mean, I was a skater that was in rhinestones and sequins all my life in front of a spotlight. And I'm a little too fat for that now, so I might as well put some heels and do it.
Mm, wow. So. I don't know if you do you know AJ Mattioli at all?
No.
Oh. Well, she makes a lot of films for like LGBT films in New York City, and she invited us out to do a podcast at a drag show. So you should come on down.
In New York.
Oh yeah. Susie Wong should make an appearance.
Okay.
That's simple.
That sounds like fun. I'll have my people contact your people. How about that?
Oh, well, you're talking to both our people.
Yeah. I love people.
Yes. So now what is the current project for you? What's going on currently?
Well, I recently came down to – I left West Hollywood where I was living with one of the number one drag agent and managers in the nation. I left that apartment to downtown L.A. out of some advice from some people in the industry, the food and television industry, that are pretty high up that I regard well. And so I moved down into a loft, and I've just turned it into a really cool studio for myself to continue my – television pursuits.
Okay. Anything you could tell us about what's going on, or is it all in pre-production?
That's back to that signing. It's back to that signing thing. But I will say that, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I'll be around for a little bit, and where we left off with Food Network Star, we're going to jump right back into next year. So I have some good opportunities coming my way.
Awesome.
And where do you like to drive yourself? Do you want to keep just being on television? Do you want to expand with like your restaurants? Where do you see yourself like 5-10 years from now?
I see myself sharing my passion of food and entertaining with everybody in whatever form it may be. Actually, something that's really cool right now that I can share is there, you know, the whole pop-up restaurant scene, pop-up mm-hmm. dining experience scene, right? Mm-hmm. There's a guy that founded one here downtown LA called DTLA Dinner Club, and he's moving to Bali in January. I met with him. And just to ask him some logistics, how we do it legally, how do you not get sued, how do you not get shut down? And he has a really big following, and starting in January, I'm taking it over while he's gone.
Sweet.
So, and it's happening in my loft. So
in your loft?
Yeah, it's cool.
That sounds really cool. what is it now? Like, do you find yourself, do you want to pursue food more, okay, or is it you want to just find a way to combine all your passions into one kind of outlet, or do you want to just continuously diversify yourself to different things?
Like change my name to Bob?
Well, you could be Bob if you want.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I mean, you got Susie Wong, so why not a Bob character?
Yeah.
Why not? Bob the Baker or something. I think that, you know, I write being down here in Los Angeles, I'm in a very creative environment, creative neighborhood.
Right.
And I feel that I have the educational background culinarily to kind of explore more personally now. My hunger for restaurants aren't as big as they used to be. Mm-hmm. I still have a passion for hospitality, but I want to bring it back to a more personal place. And being in this environment, what I like about being in my loft down here is that I've committed to cooking about 4 dishes a day just for myself, something that can happen in the home that I purchase from a grocery store or from a market and bring back to a domestic kitchen. And that's kind of what I'm obsessed about right now, is trying to bring my restaurant and hospitality experience and background and how to apply it into the home, in a home setting.
Right.
So that's kind of where I am, you know, in terms of how to set a table, how to design a playlist, how to make a cocktail, how to cook for 4. I haven't done that in my entire life. I've only cooked for 60 or more. You know, I'm not used to this. So it's a new world to explore, which seems kind of basic, but there's an art behind roasting a single chicken and keeping it warm with mashed potatoes for a party. You know, it's cool. It's different.
Yeah. So. I mean, it definitely sounds interesting. What's your guilty pleasure food?
Guilty pleasure? Yes. I love a hot dog.
Oh, me too. Good hot dog.
I had 11 and a half once.
I crave freaking hot dogs. You know what?
I ate 11 and a half. We had a competitive eater on the podcast, so he ate 26. But before he went, we decided on a whim, if you will. Let's see how good I did. Not as good, but 11 and a half ain't bad.
Did you have to drink water and like cross train for that, or were you like?
No, we just pretty much go, hey, can we do it? They're like, yep, okay.
No, he drank beer and set.
Oh, gotcha.
But
less than a victory for that one.
So Arnold,
I love a good hot dog. I love a good hot dog, and my favorite meal is roasted chicken, mashed potatoes, and peas.
It's not bad. That's always good. That's a good standby right there. Arnold, if people want to check you out or, you know, communicate with you or see what's going on with you or tweet at you, where do they go?
To my publicist. No, I'm kidding. to me. I'm pretty
how personal
actually.
You are.
Arnoldmint.com is my website, and it links you to my Instagram and my Facebook, and there's nobody behind the scenes on that. When you hit for more info, it actually pops up on my phone, so I'm actually giving you the actual more info. So I see it directly. Yeah.
Okay.
My phone number is not on there, but everything else is. I'm pretty accessible.
Now, my big question is, will we ever see you come back to competitive figure skating?
I'll say this. I've given up my competition days and everything.
Aww.
So.
Now this,
but maybe figure
skating. Susie...
I may or may not have been drunk the other night and ordered some skates.
You ordered skates?
Oh, so I'm a professional.
Don't call it a comeback. I think you're secretly bringing a comeback.
Here's what I'm thinking.
But like, go
ahead.
Can I tell you a funny story fast? So Disney on Ice, I used to work for Disney, and their show came in town this week. And so on, like 2 nights ago, just on a whim, after Sunday fun day with my buddy Eddie, who won my season, he was down here doing some work.
Oh, okay.
He came by to have some drinks with me, and we went to a pop-up brunch, and then I went to Disney on Ice. It was raining, and my shoes had no traction, so the entire time I was walking around the arena, I kept falling on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Like Bambi, like, get up, boom. And my buddy that was walking with me didn't believe that he thought I was faking it. And like literally my neck is completely like twerked out right now. It's awful. But it was kind of ironic that I went to go see my old company show and I couldn't even stand up on the ground.
You got beat up. Does Susie Wong have her own Twitter or is it just all Arnold?
Right now it's Arnold. Susie Wong it's WONG. Susie Wong is more on Facebook than Twitter, but right now we're just kind of giving Arnold a year to shine a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what we were talking about, combining everything in your life. I would just like to see Susie Wong on skates during a food competition.
Mm-hmm. Serving in the loft.
I think you would win that one.
In the loft.
Yeah, only
yeah,
seven
I mean,
or four.
Just a few tweaks on set. You can tell the designers they can make that work for me.
Arnold, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and we'd love to check in with you in the future. And thanks a lot for popping on.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a good one. Enjoy your holiday.
You too, Arnold.
So we got big stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Big stuff. We got something that's going to be a lot of fun here, at least for us anyway. We don't really care what you guys think. No, we do. We do. I take that back.
Especially you, Bill Burr.
And Don Bagnano. No.
Let's take on the biggest podcast and the one guy who listens to our show. We're rebels.
Wrap it all up in a bun.
We're like Patrice, man. Oh, you got success. Fuck you. Take it back.
So we were talking,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to do something that was like kind of ongoing thing that could kind of maybe get fans involved, and and of course it's going to be at the expense of us
and
embarrassing ourselves a little bit. But we talked, and we're gonna, you know, the holiday season's coming. January 1st is coming, a new year,
mm-hmm.
a new year for the podcast, a new year for everybody. So I think what are we going to call it? We're going to call the verbal
shenanigans showdown.
Yeah, the shenanigans showdown. Now, we may develop the rules as we speak, but it's going to be a year long, right?
Exactly.
A year
all
long.
Through 2016.
So 52 weeks
mm-hmm.
Of challenges. Okay, not a challenge every week. Okay. We have each written each other 30 challenges. Okay.
31.
30. Okay. 31 challenges. Okay. 30 challenges. We decided that 10 of them will be 5-point challenges.
Mm-hmm.
10 of them will be 10-point. 10 of them will be 20-point. And then there's one 50-point challenge, which is probably – obviously they're going to rank from easy to hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've also decided that to put together 5 guests that are also ranked 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50. If you can land that guest on the podcast, you get those points.
Exactly.
Okay. So as you complete the challenge, you have to provide video or photo or physical evidence.
Some kind of evidence.
Kind of evidence. You cannot say you did, if you did it and you don't have evidence, that's tough shit for you, buddy, because I will call
shenanigans
on it and say, yeah, I don't have evidence. You didn't do it. So, without further ado. Right. So, starting January 1st, you cannot complete these challenges prior to January 1st, 2016. You can knock out 10 in a day if you want.
Exactly.
You can knock out one a week. You can, there's some you may not do. that's kind of the goal. There's some you may shy away from. But we will post them on our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that. And we will keep a running tab. Maybe week, maybe every time a podcast comes out, we'll throw up the standings. So without further ado, this is the Shenanigans Showdown. All right. So here we go. Bert Lou, would you like to go first or second on your 5-point challenges?
Are we going back and forth?
Yeah, we're going to do five, back and forth, tens, back and forth, twenties, back and
all
forth.
Right.
The big 50, and then the guests at the end.
I'll go first.
Okay, the 5-point challenge.
Do a beat poetry jam.
All right, I like it. I think I could do that. Mm-hmm. All right, I think...
Some of these are going to be unique. Some
feathers
of these are going to be
floating in the wind. Wind carrying my feathers. I'm a bird.
It's not 2016 yet. Don't count.
All right.
I'm not accepting that.
That's in front of people, correct?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Obvious.
All right. Like that.
Like some kind of open mic poetry.
All right. I think good. Your first one is on par with my first one. Sorry.
All right.
All right. Go ahead. Oh, you want to go back and forth?
Okay.
Your number one is win a food challenge. You need to win a food challenge at a restaurant similar to Randy Santel. You need to win one. You don't have to set the record, but you need to go and win that restaurant's challenge.
I like it.
Oh, this song always pumped me up. All right.
Ready? Do a mile on a sit and bounce.
Wow. That's really tough. A mile? Holy shit. That's four laps. All right. that's going to be a tough one.
All right.
You need to obtain a Lenny Dykstra autograph.
Ooh, I like that.
We bring them up a lot. Now, how you get it is up to you.
Did you see that last article I sent?
Yes. We bring them up a lot. We don't bring them up on the podcast. We bring them a lot in our personal conversation.
Yeah.
So you need to get a Lenny Dykstra autograph.
All right. My next one, eat a ghost pepper.
I got that. I can do that.
All right.
All right. You need to do my act at an open mic.
Okay. I like that.
You have to do my act, 5-10 minutes, whatever it is.
All right, my next one. Get wine advice from a wine expert for a bottle over $100 and purchase it. For either of the following objects: Spam, Lunchables, or head cheese.
Wait. So I have to get...
You have to go into, a wine connoisseur and seriously have a conversation. Yeah, I'm going to have some Spam tonight. I want a really expensive wine to go with it and obtain it.
Okay. All right. Wait, so I don't have to spend $100 on wine?
Well, I was listed as part of it.
Damn it! All right. You need to attend a speed dating event.
Ooh.
You need to go speed dating.
All right. Mm-hmm. I've done one of those before. That shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah. Go skinny dipping outside between the months of November and March.
All right. That gives me 2 months beginning, 2 months the end. I got this. All right.
I mean, it could be 2 months to the November and December next year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. You need to wear a mustache for a week.
All right. Well, growing it might be the problem.
No, but just a mustache.
Just a mustache.
For a week, that means to work. That means everything for a week. And document the 7 days of wearing it.
All right.
Okay.
Go to a boy band concert by yourself.
I will do it, but the toughest thing is going to be to find a boy band concert around anymore. All right, you need to memorize either REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It or Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire and recite it on the podcast.
Damn, that's a good one. That's a damn good one.
Did you have to do either or of those? Your choice.
All right, all right.
Okay.
Start a food fight with somebody you don't know.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, you need to get your car up to 120 miles an hour.
I was somewhat thinking about the same thing for you. I didn't put it on there, but...
The truck's a lot scarier. You got to get it and prove it, so don't die doing it.
All right.
I'm going to take a selfie at 120.
I'm coming for you, Patrice!
Okay.
All right, all right. Walk over hot coals.
Wow, your five-pointers are challenging. I'm going to get you on the 10-pointer.
They're doable, but...
Okay.
I think you'd be into it and it'd be fun.
I'm going to get them.
All right, all right.
Some of them. Anyway, you need to take a picture with the Easter Bunny.
All right. I'm liking this so far. Mm-hmm. All right. You need to wear a skin suit to an open mic.
A skin suit? Like a wetsuit?
Like those skin-tight kind of suits, kind of like what you see with the figure skaters or something like that.
Okay. All right. You need... to write a detailed blog on all the Leprechaun movies and promote it on Facebook.
Well, we're going to have something interesting later in your list.
That comes from, we did another unreleased podcast. Yeah. It's probably 20 minutes. We were going to watch all the Leprechaun movies. 20 minutes in, we decided this concept sucks. Mm-hmm. You need to watch them all and write a detailed blog on all of them and promote it.
All right. All right. And your last one for 5 points. I need you to whittle a pan flute.
Whittle a... What's a pan flute?
It's just basically a stick where you whittle it down and just it comes into a flute. It's stupid.
Challenge
but
accepted on that. I'm going to definitely spend some night like coming cuts all over my hands. All right. Your last five-pointer is you need to glitter bomb a former guest. You need to glitter bomb a former guest. Now, the trick to this is on air we will pick it out of a hat. So you may be glitter bombing Trevor Bain.
Man, Pocono's going to get pissed at me.
So it could be Doug Max, which is no problem. Uh-huh. Or it could be Sharon Alexander in London.
Awesome.
So let's recap. Right. My five-pointers to Burlew are win a food challenge, obtain a Lenny Dykstra autograph, do my act at an open mic, attend a speed dating event, wear a mustache for a week, memorize R.E.M. or Billy Joel, that's We Didn't Start the Fire, or It's the End of the World as We Know It, and recite it on the podcast, get your car up to 120 miles an hour, take a picture with the Easter Bunny, detailed blog on all the Leprechaun movies and promote it, and glitter bomb a former guest picked out of a hat.
All right, and mine are do a beat poetry jam, Mike, do a mile on a sit and bounce, eat a ghost pepper, get wine advice for Spam, Lunchables, or Head Cheese, and buy a bottle of wine over $100.
That one's tough.
Yes, go skinny dipping outside November through March. Go to a boy band concert by yourself. Start a food fight with somebody you don't know. Walk over hot coals. Wear a skin suit to an open mic. And whittle a pan flute.
All right. So you heard it here. Those are the challenges for a year. Those only earn you five points.
Now we're going to get some fun.
Now we're going to throw... I guess we'll throw our 10-pointers out. I think we're going to leave our 20-pointers till after our guest tonight.
All right. I'm down
all right.
with that.
All right, I'll go first on the 10-pointers.
All right.
Burlew, you have to sing It's Raining Men at a Karaoke Bar.
Oh.
You need to sing It's Raining Men at a Karaoke Bar.
Okay. My first 10-pointer, become a pen pal to a person in prison and receive at least 3 letters back from said person.
Three. God, can we change that to one?
No, it's got to be a pen pal relationship.
All right, you need to attend a black church and participate in mass.
I strangely love that one. All right, you need to, in some way, do a bull ride.
On a bull.
Bull riding, yes.
Not like a mechanical bull.
No, actual bull. They do that in rodeos. They allow people.
All right. Jesus Christ. All right, you need to eat a pound of olive loaf on Periscope. This is where I start getting weird.
All right.
So
all right.
A pound of olive loaf mm-hmm. on Periscope. So Periscope will record that. So
yeah.
If you present the pound and mm-hmm. eat the whole pound of olive loaf.
All right, all right. All right. Yours is to get a character to level 50 on the phone app game Injustice Gods Amongst Us.
They still even make that stupid game?
And it's still available out there. It's free.
How long it would take me to get to level 50?
Oh, it's going to take a little bit. But you got a year.
All right. You need to snort a full line of Pixie Stick.
All right. You need to get drunk on girly drinks around friends at the bar, and they cannot be known to this challenge.
Explain. So
you're going to go out with your friends and, like, I'll have an appletini. I'll have a strawberry punch.
Okay.
Alcoholic.
Okay.
Girly drinks.
All right. Now, how many are we talking?
Whatever gets you to drunk.
All
I'll,
right.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I think we you're are man on... enough to be like, whoa.
We are on the honor system here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have to call Mike Francesa, get on the air, and say the words verbal shenanigans.
Okay. All right.
That I've been doing this 25 years. I never heard such an idiot.
You need to go vegan for 3 days.
I like that. I like that. That's doable. I can do that. Mm-hmm. I will take a picture of all my meals and my miserable self. You need to create a Grindr profile and arrange a date. You don't have to go on the date, but you have to get the conversation that you will meet this man at a certain place.
So Grindr is a gay site?
Grindr is the gay sex website, like Tinder, basically. Okay. So you have to create a profile, flirt with a man, and get him to say he'll meet you somewhere. All take right. a screenshot, and that'll do.
That poor man. Scott, you have to make and mail out an erotic Christmas card.
All right. All right. Erotic Christmas card. Okay. You need to take a selfie with a roadkill deer.
I like that challenge. It's going to happen. All right. You need to milk a goat.
Milk a goat? You know, I have a shirt somewhere. It's goat milk soap.
Ooh.
I bought it, and they gave me the shirt. It's a great
shirt.
All right. All right. You need to feed a pig a carrot with your feet.
What the hell? Damn.
I know somewhere you can accomplish that, but I'm not helping.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go and perform in a LARPing event.
Oh.
And you need to be serious
now, can
for the
some,
whole thing.
Can some of these, if I set up like a podcast, like at these events, can you come with me and like we can make an event too and I do it?
I'd be down with that.
Because I think audio would be a great proof too.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Okay. All right. You need to shoplift, period. You need to shoplift an item.
Yeah, you kept on bringing
that
up.
That was my first
me.
One. The first one, you need to shoplift an item.
All right. And my final 10.1, you need to take a jello bath.
A jello bath?
Yeah. Fill some kind of bucket or a bathtub full of jello and just sit there and bask in the glory
well,
of
let's
the
hope
jello
I
bath.
Moved out before I do that one.
Damn it, I should have added to that. Mom, help me out!
My last one, I don't know how we got up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, I got one more.
Okay. You need to go front row at a GWAR concert.
Ooh.
GWAR.
I'm aware of GWAR,
yep.
And that'd be very messy.
Yeah, and their lead singer died.
Yeah, I remember that.
But they're still out there, apparently, with a female singer.
Ooh.
You need to go front row, take a picture of us, of yourself, and I will attend that if you want to go.
All right. I might be down with that. And my final 10-1 is you need to watch 3 Leprechaun movies in the same day. That is 6 hours plus of Leprechaun entertainment.
Well, we may be able to accomplish 2 challenges in one day. All right. That is round 2. To recap, my 10-pointers from Michael Berlow. You need to sing It's Raining Men at a karaoke bar. You need to attend a black church and participate in the mass. You need to eat a pound of olive loaf on Periscope. You need to snort a line of Pixie Sticks. You need to call Mike Francesa, get on the air, and say verbal shenanigans somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it could be real quick as you sign up. You need to create a Grindr profile and arrange a date. You need to take a selfie with a roadkill deer. You need to feed a pig a carrot with your feet. You need to shoplift something, and you need to go front row at a GWAR concert.
All right, and for you, my friend, you have to become a pen pal with somebody in prison and receive at least 3 letters back. You need to arrange yourself doing a bull ride on a live bull. You need to get a character in Injustice up to level 50. You need to get drunk with a bunch of friends at a bar on girly drinks. Preface, they can't know about said challenge. You need to go vegan for 3 days.
You need to mail
out an erotic Christmas card.
I like it.
You need to milk a goat. You need to perform at a LARPing event. And you need to take a bath in Jell-O. And you need to watch 3 Leprechaun movies in the same day.
All right. I think our levels are pretty close.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty close.
A lot of these are enjoyable, and a lot of these are like, damn it.
How the hell am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's see. All right. You know what? Let's go for the full challenge here. I could always put this at the end later.
Yeah.
We're up to the big boys now. Mm-hmm. We're up to the big boys where creativity shines. Remember, folks, it's not just doing it, it's proving it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we never decided what the winner gets.
I was just thinking that as we were going along.
All right. I think the winner has to take the loser. The loser has to take the winner to something.
Mm-hmm.
And pay full expenses.
All right. How's
Medieval Times sound?
I'm down with that.
And drinks after.
I'm down with that.
That's it.
Challenge accepted. Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. We're doing it. Can't prove it. the winner has to wine and dine. That's pregame, mm-hmm. Medieval Times trip, which we could hopefully podcast from, and drinks after and a ride home.
All right.
At Medieval Times until we come up with something better.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
20 points, Michael Berlew. 20-point round. These are hard mm-hmm. and difficult. All right. I'll go first.
All right.
For 20 points, you need to tip a male stripper in his thong. You need
Ooh.
To place
right.
the dollar bill in the thong.
Right. Well, maybe he wants him to put me on Hunkamania again.
Mm-hmm. You got to stay to the end this time.
All right, Scott, you need to become a potpourri expert, and I have to give you a test on it.
Now, you got to explain that. How can I do that?
Learn about potpourri. Learn about its history. Learn about the nuances of potpourri. And I'll give you a little test on it. I'll give you clues as to where I will be giving you questions on. But basically, I have to test you and to say, you know what, Scott Brennan, you are a potpourri expert.
That's minus 20 for me. There's no way. All right, Michael Berlew, you need to take a lap around your apartment complex in a fluorescent Speedo.
Ooh.
The entire complex in a Speedo.
That's a pretty decent-sized complex, too.
That's a big one. I've been there. There's a lot of apartments, so you could get evicted after this.
Damn it, I just signed my lease,
Fluorescent
too.
Speedo has to be bright and colorful, and you just got to take one full lap from your apartment all the way around and back.
All right. Scott Brennan, you need to become an ordained minister and marry somebody.
Jesus Christ, Berlew! Now we're starting to see some separation in the hardness of these challenges.
All right. I can't hear on. All right. I can't hear me on here.
Maybe I turned you down by mistake.
Test. There we are.
Okay. Sorry. All right. You need to get a henna tramp stamp.
Now, does that have to be permanent?
Henna. Okay. Henna. Like the one that stays for like 2 weeks.
All right.
You got to get a tramp stamp.
All right. Scott, you need to experience a night at a vampire club.
All right. They exist?
Yeah, New York City.
Let's do it, baby. All right, that's accomplishable. Yep, the potpourri expert is ridiculous. I think we should be able to throw a flag on like at least one challenge in the whole bunch. And get it narrowed down to something that's accomplishable.
All right.
You need to eat a live bug.
That's easy.
Nope.
That's
live bug.
All right. You need to harpoon or noodle a fish.
Unbelievable, brother. This is where we're starting to separate here. Okay. All right. Here's one of my favorite ones, right. Just because it's hilarious. You need to drink 6 Smirnoff Ices and then make 6 15-yard field goals.
All right. That's the smallest amount you can technically do.
So you need to drink the 6 and then go make 6 field goals.
Now, does that have to be in a row? Or
no. I'm assuming you're not going to make it in a row. And you got just video the whole thing because that's hilarious.
I'm not sure you can make a 15-yarder sober. All right. Scott Brennan, you need to knit a scarf.
Knit a scarf. Okay. All right. All right. Maybe that's possible. All right. You have to complete the gallon of milk challenge. A gallon of milk in under, I think it's a half hour. I got to look it up.
Okay.
I have done it. I did it when I used to work as a lifeguard.
Really?
And it was really hard.
I've heard that. And yep. I don't do well with dairy, so that might be...
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
All right. Scott, you need to make a homemade raft and row it in the Delaware.
Awesome.
Yeah. I figured you would like that one.
I like that one. That's my up my alley. Homemade raft. Road in the Delaware.
Yep.
Okay. As long as they let me in. Burley, you have to see a superhero movie.
Okay.
In drag.
Ooh.
You have to go watch the movie in drag, though.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All you have to do.
Hmm.
You have to dress up in drag, and then just once the lights are off, you're good. It's about getting there and feeling uncomfortable. So, Winter Soldier, you know, or what's the new
Civil
one?
Civil War.
Civil War? You might see Michael Burlew in a. In his Redskins dress.
Well, the Hoggettes, so. Where was I? Okay. Scott, you need to make a music video reenacting your story from Madonna's Rain. From SS Humiliation.
Okay.
Reenact the scene and make it a music video.
Now, can I make a music video to it? Or reenact the scene?
The one you were talking about.
That's going to be hard because it involves other people.
Well, you can get... I mean, you don't have to get the dummies, right? Yeah, you don't have to... You can get other people. You don't need to get the people who are involved there.
All right. Or I can make dummies. Or I can play all the characters.
Ooh.
Mm. All right. Burlew, you need to make $5 panhandling.
Ah.
$5.
Adobe Stock is a new service that allows you to purchase royalty-free stock photos.
I hate YouTube. All right. $5 panhandling.
Scott, you need to perform a puppet show with somebody of my choice.
Okay. Now, where do I do this, say, puppet show?
Well, I can just, if you're going to do the challenge, I would name said person, and then whenever you can get to it and show proof.
So, like, we can do it, record it, kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Person of your choice, God. Now, it has to be someone I can get
somebody
to.
Somebody who has a puppet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Oh.
You might know where I might be going with that one, huh?
I hate this. All right, Burlew, you have to do hot yoga in a suit.
I know somebody does hot yoga, so I might be able to arrange that. Hmm.
That is in jacket, suit?
Yeah.
Suit, tie, shoes, everything.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to record it, too.
All right. Scott? I'll leave it up to you which one. You can either shave your head or wear a jerry curl for a week.
Hmm. All right. All right. I'll just keep that as an either or. I'll keep that as I could do one or the other. I get to decide on that one.
Yeah.
All right. My last one for you, Burlew. You have to eat an entire Crave case with your dad.
That might be hard. Well, I guess I had to make a trip down to Georgia and it's...
Or if he comes up to Jersey, you better find time to get a Crave case. You can eat them all, but your dad has to be there.
My dad likes White Castle, so he'll join me on that one.
All right. I think that's just hilarious pictures, first off.
All right, and for you, Scott, my last one. Win a game of Jai Lee against a regular player.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to die.
I guess you do know what Jai Lee is.
Yes. Jesus Christ. How is that fair?
Well, I thought we were going like hard on 20s.
All right. Well, there's definitely some I will accomplish. I know that.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
All right.
For the 50-point challenge.
Let's hear it, Scott.
Berlo, for 50 points.
Uh-huh.
Now, think about that. You could ignore, like, 3 20-point challenges and get, 50, you know, almost that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you need to do.
All right.
You need to get someone to buy candy from you, selling candy door-to-door, dressed up in a Boy Scout uniform. All you need to do is sell one bar of candy. You do not have to sell a box. You need to sell a bar.
Yeah.
You have to be in a Boy Scout uniform and go door to door.
I'm creepy enough as is.
Yeah, yeah, we'll figure that one out, buddy.
All right. All right, all right. Okay, so my 50... Go freight hopping into another state.
Holy crap. I'm going to get arrested. All right.
You're telling me to go 120?
Freight hopping?
Yeah.
Do people even do that anymore?
You do now if you want the 50 points.
There's no way. There's no way. I want things to get accomplished so we get points. You can do this. You just got to be like, can you buy my candy? They'll probably buy it and tell you to get the hell out of here. All right. So I had to get to another state in a train?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to do that.
There's got to be some kind of trains they still do, like lumber or something like that.
I'm not sneaking on the train tracks. I might ask you for a revision on that one.
All right,
an accomplishable one that won't get us
all right.
in prison. But.
I might make it your 100.
All right, we are down to 5 guests.
Yeah.
5 guests, ranked 10 through 50. Mm-hmm. Okay, Berlo, your first, your 10-point guest for me.
My 10-point guest, we brought up this name before when we were talking to Lester Spite, Terry Tate. He was a guy who was one of my football heroes growing up. He didn't have a long career, but he was special to me. My 10-pointer is former Philadelphia Stars and Washington Redskins running back Kelvin Bryant.
Oh, okay. Kelvin Bryant. I was going to put that a Redskin for you, actually. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Your number one is you're a big supporter of this.
Okay.
You need to get a Klan member on the podcast. A member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
Okay, that is your 10-pointer.
All right. 20 points, name constantly brought up on this podcast. Good buddy of mine when I fall asleep, Robert Englund.
Wow. Okay, Freddie.
He doesn't do much anymore.
All right.
So
it's, all right. I'm down.
Yeah.
All right, your 20-pointer, also mentioned a lot. We try mentioned between us a lot. Couldn't get him. You need to get Jamarcus Russell on the podcast. Jamarcus Russell.
All right. My 30-pointer, you might enjoy getting this person on. This was a childhood crush of mine. She was on MTV. She did calendars. She now has a clothing line, Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes. Oh, my God. I remember her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Number three, just for randomness, you need to get Michael Bolton on the podcast.
It's weird. I mean, I don't know why this makes me think of it. Like, one night I was thinking, maybe we get John Tesh on the show.
Kenny G.
All right. 40 points. My absolute childhood hero. The greatest Philadelphia Philly of all time, Michael Jack Schmidt.
I was going to put that in my list.
Really?
I think I missed the directions a little bit. But I understand it's blowing your mind if I can get them.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Schmidt. All right. What is it? Always Sunny. He's like, Mike Schmidt hit like 700 home runs. Proven. All right. Fine. Someone that. All right. I'm going to switch mine. My 4. Someone, believe it or not, we've had contact to their people, but they're a big get. You need to get Art Garfunkel on the podcast. Backstory of that, we have emailed his people twice now. We need to get Art Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel on the podcast.
Yeah, it was a shame. We almost had him, but he was in Israel that one time.
All right. In my 50, I just saw him in the movie on Thanksgiving. Incredible actor. Malcolm in the Middle. Breaking Bad.
Jesus.
Trumbo.
Oh, baby.
Also, a Philadelphia Phillies fan, Bryan Cranston.
Woo! That would blow my mind, too, there, buddy. Wow. Okay.
50's 50.
50 points to you.
Think about it. If you get Bryan Cranston and you go freight, you might destroy me.
I'm not going freight jumping, man. All right.
We'll review that one.
For 50 points, you need to get childhood. I grew up in Woodbridge, New Jersey, listening to his music, his hip-hop. You need to get Busta Rhymes on the podcast.
Busta Rhymes.
All right. Big fan of Busta Rhymes as a kid. Still love him. Still put that good song. A couple times we played together at shows where we got music. He was my guy that I'd come up to. So you need to get Busta Bust on the podcast.
There we go.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't convince you for that freight.
No. Did we do a recap of the third round?
No, we didn't.
All right. My recap is you need to tip a male stripper in his G-string. You need to take a lap around your apartment complex in a fluorescent Speedo. You need to get a henna tramp stamp. Okay. You need to eat a live bug. 6 Smirnoff Ice, 6 field goal challenge, 15 yards. Gallon of milk challenge. See a superhero movie and drag. Make $5 panhandling, hot yoga in a suit. Crave case with your dad. Mm-hmm. Finish the whole thing. Your 50-point question, 50-point challenge is you have to get someone to buy a candy bar from you. You're selling candy door-to-door in a Boy Scout outfit.
Yeah.
And your guest, number 10 points, is a Klan member. 20 points is Jamarcus Russell. 30 points is Michael Bolton himself. 40 points is Art Garfunkel. And 50 points is Busta Rhymes.
All right. And to go over your list, 20 are become a potpourri expert. Become an ordained minister and marry somebody. Experience a night at a vampire club. Harpoon or noodle a fish. Knit a scarf. Make a homemade rap and row down the Delaware. Make a music video reenacting your story of Madonna's Reign.
Okay.
Perform a puppet show with somebody of my choice. Either shave your head or have a jerry curl for a week. Win a game of Jai Lee against a regular
That's
player.
Ridiculous, too. Okay.
I was going random. 50 gold frames.
There's no way. There's no. Yours is obtainable.
All right. We'll review
We
that
will
one.
Review. We'll come back to the tape. You can come back next week and right. with something else.
I still like it, though.
Oh, I love the creativity of it. I'm just talking. I'm not going to jail and losing my job.
Meanwhile, me doing 120 is all right, we'll review.
We can take the 120 out if you want.
We'll talk.
We'll talk. We'll discuss it.
The top five for you, my 10-pointer is Kelvin Bryant. My 20 is Robert Freddy Krueger, England. My 30 is Girl I Love, Daisy Fuentes. My 40 is Michael Jack Schmidt. And 50 is Mr. White himself, Bryan Cranston.
Wow. All right, so that is the Verbal Shenanigans Showdown, and look forward to hearing if we accomplish any of these things. I'm sure a couple will definitely be accomplished.
If somebody can help Scott tell him where some train tracks are, I'd really appreciate him trying to fit me.
Yeah, so we will we'll type these up, put them in a cool graphic or something like that, and you guys could follow along at home.
Good lineup.
So, that is that's the showdown.
Yeah, and me, one on one,
mano e. I hope you
Berlou.
Get. I hope you get mano.
Don't talk Spanish to me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a little nervous about a couple things. A little nervous. I think there's some that I can knock out, and some that are definitely going to take some serious thinking.
Yeah. We kind of talked about it. I guess we will. Since you're so scared about the train riding deal, we're going to move that out, and we're going to make the 50-pointer, you becoming an ordained minister and marrying somebody is the 50-pointer.
Praise the Lord!
And the replacement 20-pointer is to eat an entire pie and or ice cream cake.
In one sitting.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Well, you know,
I'd still want you to ride the trail, so I might give you 100 points if you end up doing it.
I can't do anything that's going to get me arrested. Then I lose my job, and I'm like, well, I'm stuck with the podcast. We're podcasting under alleys and bridges and like
down by the river.
You guys got electric that we can just plug in? Just plug in for a minute.
Dude, I'll suck your dick for an outlet.
I'll just plug in for a minute, sir. I'll just plug in for one minute.
Unlike my going 120 miles an hour in my car, that's 100% legal.
Yes, and if you want to throw those shenanigans on that, we can, but Maybe next episode or something, we'll think about that.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
What if you took your car to the track?
I'd have to ask Pocono if they allow that.
There's also like Raceway Park where you can bring your car to the track. There's something. There's a way around it. There's always ways. There's loopholes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, Berlo, to get people in the spirit, right, of the Shenanigans Showdown. And first off, let's thank Arnold Mint. Let's thank Arnold Mint before we go.
Great interview.
Absolute awesome interview. And thanks so much for coming on, Arnold. Ooh, that was a nice
Thank you for the gastrointestine issues that Scott has. Because that's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
Berlo, you're on your own.
I am a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn worlds of its own needs. Turn me into own needs. I was so close.
Not bad. You got,
I always
like,
know the intro.
You got a quarter. You got the part that everybody knows. That's great. It starts with an earthquake.
I got the Lenny Bruce is not afraid part.
He's not afraid.
No, yeah. He's not. Man is fearless. I'm glad R.E.M. brought it up.
Well, I mean, you could do that, or...
I don't think I even read, like, one lyric. We did start the fire. Yeah. You're...
Yeah!
Yeah, you might want to go a cappella here for a while. Always burns, the world was turned.
It's Darren Tumor's Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon. I'm trying to read the YouTube version of it.
Hey, you're cheating.
But anyway, people, thank you so much for joining us. We love you all. And this has been a fantastic year for the podcast.
Yay.
When we get back, a little year in review. And you got a great guest coming on, as we always have lately. Anyway, the guest could dry up, and we could just have Berlo on all the time. So please email us your...
But what's wrong with that?
A lot. Please email us your... if you got contacts, leave a review for us.
Or you can just listen to me and Scott.
Most importantly, have a healthy and happy New Year.
Yeah, definitely that.
And... it's been great doing this, and anybody who's even listening, I appreciate it. Hi, Dom. I appreciate you, kind of. But everyone else, have a happy and healthy new year. We love you, people. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your goddamn back. Leave a review.
Yep. 2016, the year of the horse.
Follow us at VS Comedy.
Buckaloo Steel Horses. It's my year. Steal it.
All right, here I go to end it. Last podcast of the year. Here we go. Not even Burton her space monkey mafia hula hoops Castro Etzel is a no go. You two sing Min Repayo Len Kennedy Chubby Checkers I go Belgians in the Congo.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world was turning.
We didn't start the fire, but we tried to fight it.
Wade Edgman, Stranger in a Strange Land, Dylan Berlin, Bay of Pigs Invasion, You're in Arabia, British Beatlemania, Old Miss John Glenn, Listen Beats and Patterson. Listen to the goddamn podcast, people.
What was the last one? All right.